to Jonah chapter 2. We had left off and finished our exposition up to verse 4. So today we're going to deal with a description of Jonah's distress in verses 4 and 5. Let's read those. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. Now Jonah attempts to describe what it felt like while he was in the belly of the great fish in the midst of the sea. And when you think about it, it's truly remarkable that a man would live to tell of such experience. It was a miracle. There's no other way to look at this. This is supernatural that God would allow a great fish, Jesus called it a whale in the New Testament, and live to tell about it. Pretty amazing. But to Jonah, the belly of that whale seemed like a watery tomb. He was overwhelmed by the seawater that came into the darkness and the blackness of the whale's belly. I always think of, I hate to bring this into the sermon, but when I'm reading Jonah, I can't help but think of Pinocchio. And, you know, Pinocchio, I think he got swallowed by a whale, but he was able to light a candle or something in there and he could see. But Jonah had no candle. He didn't have a light. He didn't see. There was just blackness. And it was so frightening that Jonah said that it affected his soul. And I thought, how often is this true? That physical afflictions and calamities and soul sufferings often go together. They affect us spiritually and down deep in our innermost being. Jesus Christ, Jonah's antitype, think about this. He experienced great anguish of soul as he suffered on the cross and as he offered himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. He experienced soul suffering that is incomparable. Now in the belly of the whale, Jonah felt the seaweeds that had been ingested by the whale, that they were wrapped around his head. He felt entangled by the seaweeds and trapped by the depth of the sea in which the whale swam. It made me ask this question. How often do we feel as though we're surrounded by a sea of trouble in the world in which we live? How often do we feel distress of soul, especially the experience of grief when we're trapped in some trouble or in some sin. It overwhelms us. I know there have been times in my life when great trials have come upon my body and soul that I felt like I was drowning in a sea of difficulty, that I couldn't see my way out. I mean, I'm not talking about before I was saved. I'm talking about after I was saved. There have been seasons in my life where I don't think I've ever experienced anything like Jonah had to go through. But I have experienced soul suffering and affliction down deep within. And you know, if you're not careful when you get like that, you can lose hope. And you can give yourself over to despair and despondency. And I know this sounds so simplistic, but in those times when we're despairing and feel hopeless, we need to draw upon the greatness of God. It's why I urge you to memorize portions of Scripture. One passage that just helps me all the time: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So vital that in every circumstance of life, we cast everything upon Him, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. We have to trust Almighty God in such situations. We have to learn to depend upon Him to rescue us by the power of His mighty hand. God alone is a trustworthy guide in times of great soul distress and anguish. We need to learn to rest upon the promises of His Word to comfort our souls, to seek refuge in prayer. And it's not like rubbing a magic bottle and a genie appearing to take away all of your troubles. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. We have a promise. Now, the deliverance may not come when you think it's going to. In fact, it may not come till you get to glory. But there's a purpose. There's a reason. 2 Corinthians 4, our light affliction. Think about that. Our light affliction. It's light in comparison to what we really deserve. The weight of affliction. It's light. We deserve an eternity in the lake of fire. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, you've got to understand, every trial is momentary. It's temporary. This too shall pass. That's the length of affliction. If we would begin to view things like God does and see that our lives are really just a blip on eternity. I mean, 70 years, 70 years. 80 years with strength, 80 years. We're just a small portion. Our lives are just a small portion. And so our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. You see, afflictions and trials, they work for us. That's the outcome. They strengthen our faith, our resolve, our dependence upon God. We have to learn to trust God in those afflictions and trials. And Jonah describes his sojourn in the belly of the whale as going down to the bottom of the depths of the sea. He felt as though he was as far down in the sea as a man can go. He felt like he was at the bottom of the mountains on the seafloor. He felt as though he was entombed in a watery grave with no way out. The seaweeds were his chains, the watery deep his dungeon, and the belly of the fish his frightful abode. Yet with each passing day, day one, think about it. Think about what Jonah experienced. Day one. They throw him off the ship. He's flying through the air, getting ready to go down into the depths of the water. He's thinking this, I'm a goner. I am dead. There's no way I'm coming back from this physically. And the next thing he knows, he's swallowed by this great fish. Still, in his mind, he has to be thinking, there's no way I'm coming out of this. I'm going to die right here and now. Day one, he makes it. Day two. Day three. Each passing day, being preserved in the belly of the whale, I think his faith must have been strengthened. With renewed faith, he reasoned that God must be preserving him from the pit so that he could go and preach to Nineveh. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with their bars was about me. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He said in verse 4, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Jonah praised God for preserving him, so that he could carry out his appointed task even before he was ejected from the great fish. He was given glory to God for his deliverance from death. And I think there was a measure of renewed zeal and resolve that when he got out of there, he was going to do exactly what the Lord commanded him to do. No more disobedience. And boy, I thought, what a hard lesson to learn. What severe chastening this prophet of God had to endure. What distress of soul he had to undergo in order to get the lesson, in order to understand what God wanted him to do and what he was going to do. Now, next week, we're going to look at the lessons that Jonah learned while he was in the whale. And I think it's pretty interesting. But we'll stop there for today.